What's up? This is Movies On Up, the extraordinary true story of Solomon Northrup. That is our tagline for this week. This is my co-host, Mr. Dave Bisella.
That's me.
That's Dave. I'm Ryan.
3 years a co-host.
3 years, going on 4 years a co-host. That is my co-host, Mr. Dave Bisella. I'm Ryan. We are Movies On Up. This, if you couldn't tell from our tagline contest, is our Oscar preview episode. That's a little hint, as if you've maybe even needed a hint on the identity movie of our tagline. If it doesn't take you 12 years to figure out what our tagline for this week is, send your guess to us in one of the three following ways, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can email it to us. You can tweet your guess at us, @moviesonup on the Twitter, or you can leave your guess on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, if you are correct. And if we choose you, Dave will hand me an envelope with your name in it, and we will send you a prize package.
Sometimes I feel like I'm a slave to the post office sending all these prize packages.
Now, that's just a lie. But we are now at the end of February, so we haven't sent that many prize packages out yet this year. I don't know, maybe 5 or 6. Who's to say? I don't send them out, so I really don't know. But what we do know is that this Sunday, some awards will be handed out, some gold statues. I don't think they're mailed. I think they give them to them, like, right then.
Probably.
Right there at that ceremony. Some folks are going to get some awards for some movies. What, folks? What movies, you ask? Well, don't even worry about it, because Dave and I are going to tell you what movies, what folks, are going to be taking home the Academy Awards this year with accuracy, some degree of accuracy.
With lots of heart, lots of caring, and accuracy.
I think, in fairness, right at the top, maybe we should kind of tell you that this year, I think Dave and I are both a little bit down on the Oscars, which I don't know if because we have a movie podcast, we feel like we need to do an Oscar preview episode. We've done it before in the past, and I've had a good time with it. This year, I just don't see myself having a good time with it.
When the Oscars first came out, the nominations this year, I first thought, like, these are uninspired choices. They're all very predictable. They're all very whatever. But then I thought, like, I don't feel like there's anything that really got, yeah, there's some stuff here and there that doesn't make sense and got left out. But maybe it was just, I liked a lot of movies from this year, but maybe in the world of film, it was a down year. Because we said going in, there weren't any, like, clear-cut front runners for anything. You didn't have your Lincolns, your 12 Years a Slave, your movies that you knew would be big-time Oscar movies. You didn't really have those. And then some of the nominations just get weird and boring.
When we did our preview episodes for last year, the year of our Lord, 2014, I think we were both kind of, we'd asked the question, is this just a placeholder year until 2015? When we get not necessarily a tremendous amount of Oscar fare, I'm sure there'll be some.
It'll break some records, though.
Yeah, the box office. There's going to be a ton of, you know, big tentpole movies that I think a lot of people are really looking forward to. The Avengers is coming out. We're down to weeks. I'm going to count it in weeks instead of months for how long we're going to have to wait for the Avengers. That's just around the corner. I mean, so much stuff this year. Obviously, Star Wars at the end of the year. So we were kind of wondering if 2014 was just going to be sort of marking time. And I think that maybe with our general empathy, based on a lot of these movies, maybe that kind of backed it up a little bit.
Yeah,
I just want to say that we're justified in not giving a shit because Hollywood didn't.
I think so, because it just seems, I haven't been this uninterested in a year since it was like War Horse, Extremely Loud, Incredibly Close. That year was just such a dumb year for the Oscars. And I feel like this is the dumbest it's been since then. I mean, like, there's some inspired stuff. Like, okay, Whiplash getting some love. I enjoy that, but, you know, it's not as far of a reach as Beast of the Southern Wild getting a Best Picture, Best Director nomination. There's no interesting storylines. There's nobody to root for.
I don't want to devolve into a bunch of complaining, because I think you did an excellent job of that. Head over to moviesonup.com. Dave put up a rather lengthy props and poops article about the Oscars.
It's very professional.
Very, super professional. It's the most professional piece you'll ever read that has the word poops in it a lot. But that was kind of our vehicle to complain about things, and we're still going to complain today because it is our God-given right as Americans, and it's our show, so we can kind of do whatever the hell we want. But we're going to try and not complain too much, because there is a great article up, so read that. But without further ado, let's start the complaining with best writing. We'll go with original screenplay. The nominees are Wes Anderson and Hugo Guinness, Grand Budapest Hotel, Dan Futterman and Emax Fry for Foxcatcher, Dan Gilroy for Nightcrawler, Alejandro Gonzalez and Aratu, and some other guys for Birdman, and Richard Linkletter for Boyhood. Dave.
I think Inaratu and Posse win this one. I would like to see Gilroy win because I thought Nightcrawler was really, it was unique, and I wish it would have actually gotten more nominations. Like Gyllenhaal should have been there. Like I feel like it should have gotten more love. But I feel like Inaratu is going to win this one because I feel like they're going to try to divvy up the awards between Inaratu and Linkletter.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, so this one I think goes to Birdman.
I could absolutely see that happening. And I guess not that I'm picking two, but if I had to, if you could give me two against the field, I would take Birdman. And what I'm going to pick is Grand Budapest Hotel. It won a bunch of Golden Globes, and it was a really good movie. As far as the writing goes, it might be the most accessible Wes Anderson movie, and that's why I think that maybe it'll get the nod for writing. While we're on the subject of writing, we will go to the best adapted screenplay. Those nominees are Paul Thomas Anderson for Inherent Vice, Damien Chazelle for Whiplash, Jason Hall, American Sniper, Anthony McCarten, The Theory of Everything, and Graham Moore, The Imitation Game.
I really want this to be PTA's award. Inherent Vice was so well done, and Pynchon's a very, very hard author to adapt, and he made it work, and he made an awesome movie, and I guess nothing sticks out to me at the others. American Sniper I thought was a wreck. Like, I thought that script was a disaster. The other ones, I don't know. I realize they're adapted, but there's just nothing screams out special to them to me, where I feel like Paul Thomas Anderson did a fantastic job. Above all, I feel like Gillian Flynn should be here for Gone Girl. She adapted her own damn novel,
which hadn't been done in a long time.
And it was perfect. I mean, it was a great adaptation of that book. A lot of the Gone Girl love isn't there like I thought it would. But Gillian Flynn should win this award, but since she's not nominated, I think Paul Thomas Anderson will.
I wouldn't have a problem with that, but I am just going to go with another one of those picks where I feel like they're just going to divvy things up, and if they're going to divvy, they got to divvy something for The Theory of Everything. So I'm putting that one on there just because I don't feel strongly about anything else. And you know, you may have a couple of those picks from me further on down the line. Further on down for our next category is Best Music Original Song. Those nominees are Everything is Awesome from The Lego Movie, Glory from Selma, Grateful, I'm Gonna Miss You, Lost Stars from Begin Again. And that's it.
I'm glad Everything is Awesome got nominated. Golden Globes missed by this, and I almost feel like this is, in case they didn't nominate it for another award, this is kind of
And that's why I can't even care.
I think John Legend.
John Legend, Glory.
Yeah, I think Glory's going to win.
Actually, Common and John Legend. So yeah, you were right. I mean, there's some star power there with those two. Begin Again was Nick Lachey, if you remember that dude. I'm going to go with Glenn Campbell. I'm Not Going to Miss You, just because I feel like that's the one that everyone seems like they're thinking is going to win. I'd love for Everything is Awesome to win.
Everything is Awesome. The only reason that I think it might win is because it would be on par with like 3-6 Mafia winning, where they were just honored to be nominated, and that was kind of like, oh, it's good they nominated them, and then they won. But I really think it'll go to Selma.
Fair enough. Move on to Best Music Original Score. Your nominees there: Alexander Desplat for The Grand Budapest Hotel and The Imitation Game. This guy's got two chances. Johan Johansson, The Theory of Everything. Gary Yershan for Mr. Turner, and Hans Zimmer for Interstellar.
I think Grand Budapest takes this one.
I think you should just stick with the plot.
No, I think Grand Budapest, because I don't see it winning a lot of other stuff, and I don't see it getting that many nominations and not getting a win. So I'm going to say Score.
There's a couple guys that when they get nominated for Score.
Like Hans Zimmer,
he's one of them. If it's Hans Zimmer, if it's
Elfman.
Yeah, if it's Hans Zimmer, if it's John Williams, if it's Danny Elfman, like, I'm just going to go ahead and pick those guys because they always seem to win. Now, maybe that's because they're really good at their jobs, and I think they are, or they just get nominated a lot, in which case, you know, maybe sometimes they get nominated when they shouldn't, but more often than not, yeah, I'm going to go with the guy that's won some already, so I'm going to go with Hans Zimmer for Interstellar. Our next category is one that I think there's going to be at least some discussion about. It's one that, you know, we tend to pay a little bit of attention to, and maybe a lot of other people do as well. It's Best Director. Your nominees for this one: Wes Anderson for The Grand Budapest Hotel, Alejandro Gonzalez Iñárritu for Birdman, Richard Linklater, Boyhood, Bennett Miller for Foxcatcher, and Morton Tilden for The Imitation Game.
Not to rehash the article I wrote, but like, Iñárritu, fantastically ambitious. Like, he shot it as it was one shot. Like, it's a continuous thing, and it works.
It looks, it's filmed like a play.
Yes,
a stage play.
It works out great, and it you know, he gets great performances along the way. Linklater,
ambitious.
Ambitious. He filmed it over, what, 12 years? Wes Anderson, very Wes Anderson-y, but maybe more accessible Wes Anderson. And, you know, it was still his style, but maybe branching out just a little tiny bit. And Bennett Miller, I feel like Foxcatcher was beautifully directed. Like, I feel like the performances were great.
So did the Academy.
The tone. I guess Imitation Game doesn't belong there. Or Theory of Everything, whichever one the fifth one is.
It's the Imitation Game.
They're the same movie to me. Like, I don't really... Theory of Everything and Imitation Game, I just...
They're both about smart guys.
About, yeah. Like, I just don't care. It wasn't anything special. It's a two-man race between... as much as Miller and Anderson deserve to be there, I think it's between Linklater and Iñárritu. What do you think?
I think it's going to be Linklater. And maybe I'll expound on that more later. I know we've talked about this last year, where just because something is... wins Best Director doesn't mean that it should win Best Picture. Those things don't have to be linked. A lot of times they are. And this year I think it's incredibly tough because you have some movies that were nominated for Best Picture, like Selma, that didn't get a directing nomination, and vice versa with Bennett Miller, Foxcatcher, that didn't get a Best Picture nomination. And I might complain more about that when we get to Best Picture. I agree with you that it's going to be between Iñárritu and Linklater. And I want to say that maybe this is going to be the year that the one that wins Best Director, the other one's winning Best Picture, as just a way to split things. I hope that's the case, but I don't think it's going to be the case.
And that's kind of what I'm thinking. I feel like Linklater will get this. I think Birdman has a better chance at Best Picture. But the big thing on here is Ana de Vernay from Selma, not nominated. I'd pick her over Milton Downey Jr. or whoever directed the
Morton Tilden
Theory Game or whatever.
The Imitation Game.
Yeah.
The Hunger Games.
Now that should be up there. Nah, I feel like Ana de Vernay should be on there, nominated. She would be in the same category as Bennett Miller and Wes Anderson. We're like, yeah, they deserve to be here. I just don't see them winning.
I think the problem you have is when you can have 10 films that get nominated for Best Picture, you know, you only nominate 5. For Best Director. So at some point, you know, you're going to have at most 5 movies that did not get a Best Director because it's just a numbers game. Yeah. And it lends itself to having arguments like this. And I don't think in any other category, you know, we have these, well, it got nominated for Best Picture. Why didn't it get a Best Directing? Because very rarely are you going to see something that is Best Picture that doesn't get at least a nomination for Best
Director.
And
I'm even fine. Like, Linklater... and Iñárritu, what they did, I don't think Boyhood or Birdman were two of the best. I mean, I don't think either of them were the best movie of the year, but I have no problem with either of them winning Best Director because they were fantastic. They stepped outside the box and did something different. I didn't see that from anybody else this year. Just like Ang Lee winning for Life of Pi. Life of Pi had no chance in hell of winning Best Picture. I'm okay with it winning Best Director because it was visually... stunning, and he did a fantastic job on a green screen with a dude. I'm okay with stuff like that, but I don't know. I guess I just want them to try a little harder on that fifth one.
Did you end up actually picking Iñárritu? Is that who you think?
No, I think I said Linklater.
Okay, then I think we both agree on that for whatever it matters. Whatever.
Or Iñárritu. I really don't care.
One of the two.
One of those two.
Yeah.
Whatever. I think I said Linklater.
I don't know. That's why I asked, because I did not pay attention to what you said.
Because when somebody does something like that, they deserve recognition.
Sure.
What he did was more ambitious than Iñárritu. I mean, Iñárritu was fantastic. I thought it was the better job, but not as ambitious as, what's his name, Linklater.
As Linklater filming over 12 years.
Yeah.
I guess we'll go from, like, ambitious from a conceptual to ambitious visual, the best costume design. Your nominees are The Grand Budapest Hotel, Inherent Vice, Into the Woods, Maleficent, and Mr. Turner.
I want Inherent Vice to win. That's the only reason I said leave this on. I like the work that it was done in Inherent Vice. I thought Joaquin looked great. It took you into a time period, which I thought was really cool. Much like Boogie Nights, Paul Thomas Anderson always has fantastic wardrobe work done on his. And they have less to work with. Like Maleficent, End of the Woods, like those are fantastical stories. You can use your imagination a little bit more. Inherent Vice is just, hey, we want it to look like this. And, you know, to do as well as they did with that, I thought was pretty awesome.
Which is exactly why I'm going to go with Into the Woods, because I feel like there's a lot of room to play there, and I thought they played well enough. So, yeah, best costume design. There you go, Into the Woods. Our next category, we just kind of talked about it briefly in the direction, and for me, these are sort of linked. So maybe I should have put them right next to each other, but that's just not how it happened. Best cinematography, your nominees are Roger Deakins for Unbroken, Emmanuel Lubezki for Birdman, Dick Pope, Mr. Turner, Robert Yeoman, The Grand Budapest Hotel, and Lucas Zai and Ruzard Lazowski. And I feel a bit like John Travolta at this point for Ida. I know you're not going to pick Ida, so pick one of the other.
Grand Budapest Hotel.
Fair enough. I'm going to go with Birdman just because I actually thought, kind of looking at these other movies, we talked about from what Iñárritu did conceptually with Birdman, how he did kind of step out. I think a lot of what made Birdman special, obviously the performances were really, really great. But in addition to that, it was the look of the film. And for me, most of that was cinematography, not just, you know, the long kind of tracking shots that they did, but I liked, especially as we sort of devolved, Michael Keaton got a little bit more crazy towards the end of the movie. I thought that some of those where he might be dreaming, those scenes were kind of cool. So I'm going to go with Birdman for best cinematography. Speaking of Birdman, and he was a superhero, we've got a superhero movie nominated for Best Animated Feature Film. That, of course, is Big Hero 6. It's nominated with The Box Trolls, How to Train Your Dragon 2, Song of the Sea, and The Tale of Princess Kaguya.
And a Lego movie, obviously.
No, I don't see that listed.
I think you just forgot to type it. So I think it's between...
Forgot to type it on the Oscar website.
At this point, it's hard not to pick How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Yep, I did. It's
won everything else. I'm okay with that. It's good. It's a really, really good movie.
It's not as good as the Lego movie.
It's not as good as the Lego movie. I don't know what hurt the Lego movie. I don't know why and what world it's not one of the best 5 animated movies of the year. I have no idea. You know, I love Big Hero 6. The second half, it kind of fell apart. Like, it became just standard superhero stuff. It was still fun. I loved it. But it wasn't as good of an overall film as Lego Movie. Box Trolls, I thought, was great. Good movie, great message. I'd still even like Lego Movie nominated over that. Then the foreign ones, who cares? I ain't reading my cartoons.
Didn't see.
I do that. They're called comic books.
And you didn't pick the comic book movie. So I think we're both in agreement that it's How to Train Your Dragon 2 going to be holding the Oscar that belongs to Lego Movie.
Yeah.
Who will be holding the award for Best Actress in a Supporting Role? Will it be Patricia Arquette for Boyhood, Laura Dern for Wild, Keira Knightley, The Imitation Game, Emma Stone, Birdman, or Meryl Streep, Into the Woods?
I think it's Patricia Arquette. I really do. She was good. She was probably the best part of that movie, my favorite part of that movie. I mean, it's hard to have a favorite part of that movie, but she was probably the highlight, and I think she deserves it.
I agree. I think she's going to win. I mean, obviously, this got Best Supporting Actress and Best Supporting Actor nods.
Screw you, kid.
Yeah. Screw you, boy, from Boyhood. You didn't act. You just got older.
Hey, go hit puberty. Action.
I think Patricia Arquette was really, really good and kind of what she was asked to do in that movie. She had to carry quite a bit emotionally because the kid really was just the kid by and large. So, yeah, I see her winning that one just because I don't think Boyhood's going to win any other acting. So that brings us to Best Actor in a Supporting Role. I mentioned Ethan Hawke being nominated for Boyhood. I don't think he's going to win. But one of the next four guys will. Robert Duvall from The Judge, Eddie Norton for The Birdman, Mark Ruffalo for Foxcatcher, and J.K. Simmons, Whiplash.
This is the insurance guy. J.K. Simmons, without a doubt.
The farmer's insurance guy.
Yeah, Yeah, I don't see anybody winning this.
Oscar Academy Award winner.
Yeah.
Then he'll be known to you as the insurance guy. I agree.
If he doesn't, I think it goes Norton, just because one of those, it's a name recognition thing, but it's J.K. Simmons. I mean, they went out and found it. Whiplash had a lot of good buzz, but...
Won a Golden Globe.
I think it's his award without a doubt.
Yeah, I mean, I think his performance was super intense, but not just playing like the Marine drill sergeant, you know, where he's just yelling all the time. I did feel like there was a little bit of control and some variations to that character. So, I mean, I loved him. I thought he was phenomenal, and I think he's going to win. So we're in agreement.
Can I sidebar just how cool of a career Ethan Hawke has right now? Like, I think
sure.
He gets under...
appreciated?
Yeah, because, like, last year, Predestination was fantastic. He's got Anarchy coming up that looks awesome. He's got Good Kill coming up that looks awesome. 10,000 Saints looks cool. Like, he's doing really, really cool movies, and then doing something like The Purge to pay his bills, or Boyhood. Like, he's doing really, really cool stuff.
I hope they all got paid, like, a retainer for Boyhood. I mean, that's a long-ass time to keep showing up to work.
Yeah, hope they weren't hourly. There goes that whole budget.
That leaves us with, I guess, the three big ones. I would consider, like, directing maybe the fourth of the big ones, but we already did that one. So we have Best Actress in a Leading Role, your nominees there. Marion Cotillard, 2 Days, One Night, Felicity Jones, The Theory of Everything, Julianne Moore, Still Alice, Rosamund Pike, Gone Girl, remember that movie, and Reese Witherspoon for Wild.
It's Julianne Moore. She's winning for Still Alice. I don't see how she doesn't. She was really, really good in that. So yeah, I say Still Alice. Unless they go to Cotillard, because she could have been nominated twice this year for this, and The Immigrant was the other one. So if Cotillard won is kind of like a year achievement award, I'd be okay with that. But it's Julianne Moore.
Yeah, this one seems like maybe the most slam dunk.
I think this and Simmons. And I almost feel that way about Arquette, too. I feel like Arquette, Simmons, and this are slam dunks.
I guess I agree. I mean, I know our last two.
Except actress Emma Stone. It wouldn't shock me if they throw her a bone.
I would be surprised if Emma Stone wins out of that group, period.
I think she's the least deserving to be there, which is why I would be surprised if she won.
The way this year is going, I have a...
Take any performance out of Inherent Vice and give it that fifth spot, and I think they're more deserved. Not that she was bad in Birdman.
Right. She didn't have to do very much except yell like one time.
Looks skinny and drugged out.
Got it. Speaking of looking weird... We didn't do, like, best makeup or whatever.
They got Guardians right, though.
Yeah, they did. But maybe slightly less fantastical, but not any less effective, was the makeup that Steve Carell got to look haggard as hell. He's your first nominee for Best Actor from Foxcatcher. Also have Bradley Cooper from American Sniper, Benedict Cumberbatch, The Imitation Game, Michael Keaton from The Birdman, and Eddie Redmayne for The Theory of Everything.
I like most of this category. I love Carell. I thought he was just damn creepy in this movie. Like, he nailed it. But, you know, Cooper was the only good thing about American Sniper. That movie was terrible.
Well, it's good because it's about him.
Yeah, and he was good. He carried as much as he could. I thought the script was terrible. I thought the directing, editing, everything else about that movie I thought was terrible. And he did, it's the least attractive I've ever been to Bradley Cooper, so I don't think that's Oscar worthy. Keaton was great. For some reason, I just feel like Redmayne is going to win.
I agree.
I don't want him to, though. I feel like Redmayne's a shoo-in, but I'm going to pick Keaton.
My heart would like to pick Keaton, much in the same way that every time Bill Murray gets nominated, my heart wants Bill Murray to win.
Which, it's a shame he didn't get any... I didn't even hear buzz around him for St. Vincent. Like, that was a fantastic performance for him.
He was real good in that, and that movie was really, really good. I think that's just kind of the way this year went, where... There were some movies that were really good that got no love. There were some movies that maybe got more love than they deserved.
Theory of Everything, Imitation Game.
I don't know. I mean, something has to win. And I would love to have seen Bill Murray nominated. Man, that would have just been...
Like, no Joaquin.
No.
Like, Joaquin was great. Gyllenhaal, I thought, would have been fantastic. David Oyelowo,
yeah,
from Selma. Like, sure. That, I think, is the biggest omission. But Gyllenhaal would have been awesome because, like, that's why I wish Nightcrawler would have gotten more love because it was risk-taking movie. Like, subject matter, like, the way it's... I mean, Gyllenhaal really has no character arc. He's...
No.
He's
the same character
at
the beginning.
He stays
the
same at the... And that's risky to do, and he pulls it off. I feel like the best actor category could have been a lot more interesting. I think, you know, three of them I'm okay with. One of them that I'm not is probably going to win. And I love Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
I adore Cumberbatch. I absolutely love Benedict Cumberbatch, but... I feel like his performance in that Wiki movie was better than this. That We Steal Secrets or whatever it was called. No, that was the documentary.
Yeah.
What was the, whatever. Who cares? I care as much about that as I do about this Oscars this year. So Eddie Redmayne, best actor. But I'm picking Keaton.
I would love to pick Keaton with you. Like I said, my heart says that's the one that I would love to win, but I don't see it happening. I think it's Eddie Redmayne. Just... This seems, as much as you can zero in on an Oscar role and say, all right, the guy's playing Stephen Hawking. And he did it. He did it well.
He did well. Him and Cumberbatch both did good.
And that's why I think Redmayne's going to win. I love Keaton. I just want to see his Oscar acceptance speech just because I think he is so good. And maybe we'll get to see more Michael Keaton now because people are like, oh, shit, that's right. This guy is really, really good. I think it's going to be Redmayne, The Fifth Estate.
That's what it was. We still see. That was the We Steal Secrets movie.
Right. This was the utter one. Eight other ones nominated for Best Picture. 8 out of a possible 10.
I might get opinionated in this category.
Yeah. I mean, we would have saved this for last anyway. The telecast does. But I think this is the one where you can argue the most because they left themselves open to it. There are two slots that movies could have been nominated and they weren't used. The 8 slots that were used on American Sniper, Birdman, Boyhood, Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Selma, The Theory of Everything, and Whiplash. I get it. I understand why Birdman was nominated. I'm cool with that. I understand why Boyhood was nominated. Cool with that. I love the fact that Grand Budapest Hotel was nominated.
I like that they threw Whiplash in there.
Sure, absolutely. It's kind of like the little indie that could, because there has to be
one. It's
like
Winner's Bone. Like, it does a lot for that movie.
Yeah. But.
You have a Best Director nom, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor, Best Makeup, Best Original Screenplay for Foxcatcher. But and it's not one of the 10 best movies of the year.
Yeah.
Inherent Vice. Where's the love? This is the Her of this year, I think. Because Her didn't get the love last year that I thought it needed. Neither did Lone Survivor. That's all going to American Sniper, but that's a whole other podcast. Inherent Vice, people eat up Paul Thomas Anderson. He generally gets Best Supporting Actor, Best Supporting Actress, Best Actor, Best Supporting...
And especially when it's Joaquin and PTA.
Joaquin, Brolin.
Yeah.
You know, Reese was in there. The girl that played the chick from the hooker shop, the Asian one. I thought she was fantastic. Any female performance could have been nominated for supporting, I think. That, I just don't get. Selma deserves to be there. This is going to sound like I'm saying Selma doesn't deserve to be there. Selma deserves to be in Best Picture, but it got nothing else except song. So good job, John Legend and Common. Your song was so good, it made it one of the best 8 movies of the year.
And that's, I guess, where I have a problem. I can understand... And I'm going to make like almost the inverse argument I made last year when I said, what makes a best directing nomination? I understand what makes a best acting performance. You can look and you can see it. If it walks like a duck, if it talks like a duck, it's a great acting performance. Cinematography, I can sort of understand. Costume design, I get these things. Best Picture seems like it should be, you know, a series of boxes where if the acting is really good, that's a check. If the directing is really good, that's a check. If the writing was really good, that's a check. Again, if it walks like a duck, if it talks like a duck, it's got to be a duck. But how in the hell is Foxcatcher not a duck?
Like even something
and they
like
could have they didn't have to knock
they didn't have to knock
anything.
Anybody out. I mean, to add everything that I'm saying, like Inherent Vice, Foxcatcher should be up there. I even think something like Gone Girl deserved a nom because say what you will about it, it was very well done. It was very well made. It was very polarizing. I don't know anybody that kind of liked Gone Girl. Like, people either hated it or loved it, and I think that says a lot about a movie. And the fact that it got no other love kind of blows my mind. But Foxcatcher, Gone Girl, Inherent Vice, those all three I think deserve. I'd love to see Nightcrawler, something like that thrown in there as Best Picture. That's four right there. You want me to take a couple away? Okay, Imitation Theory. Gone.
Imitation
that's down
game.
To six.
Gone.
Yeah.
Theory of Everything. That's
yeah.
gone too.
Down to six. Boom.
All right, so that's what should be nominated, what shouldn't be nominated. What's going to win?
Selma. 100% without a doubt, Selma.
Care to explain why?
I think it's Argo. It's Argo. Argo kind of got shut out of everything else. It's a movie that deserves to be up there. Like, I think it, I mean, it's a good movie. It's a really, really good movie. Not just because the message and what it covers. Like, it's a really well-made movie.
Not made well enough to be nominated for Best Director, mind you.
Yeah, exactly. No, but neither was Argo.
You're right. And that did win Best Picture. This is
just like Affleck wasn't nominated for
Best
Actor.
That, right.
He wasn't nominated Best Director or Best Actor.
Right.
I don't want to make this a race thing, but I'm going to. It's all old white people, really. And the awards are very, very white. Like, if you look at the 20 acting nominations, and even throw in the directors, like at 23 out of 25, right? Am I?
Yeah, I'm doing the counting.
I mean,
like,
23
Steve
out
Carell,
of 20.
Bradley Cooper, Benedict Cumberbatch, Michael Keaton, Eddie Redmayne, white guys.
Yeah, it's a very whitewashed categories for all the main ones. Selma winning is almost the my black friend. I really feel like I have a black friend of the Oscars. Maybe I'm looking too far into that, but it's I think Selma deserves it, and I don't. If it wins, I don't want it to be because of that.
Well, I don't think it's going to win. I think it's nominated.
It's Birdman or Boyhood, probably.
Yes. I think it's nominated just because they could do it, and nobody would argue against it being nominated, whereas, you know, we can argue, and we might argue that, really, does Imitation Game need to be there?
I don't think so.
All right. But it is. Really, I do think that, much like Director, it's sort of a two-man race. It's either going to be Birdman or Boyhood. And I would love it if the awards were split. And I don't even necessarily care how. Actually, I do. I would much rather see Birdman win Best Picture and Linklater win Best Director, because I think that Birdman is a better movie.
That's how I would lean. That's why I picked Linklater for Director, because I would, in a normal world, I would pick Birdman to win, but I think Selma's going to win.
I just can't see them picking Birdman as Best Picture. I really think it's going to be Boyhood, because, you know, we said it in Best Director that it was so ambitious, this 12-year, we haven't seen anything like that for a feature. I mean, documentaries have done it, but we haven't seen anything like it for a feature, and I think that in the absence of anything that is far and away better, I think this is going to win. Do I want to say that the best movie of this year in perpetuity is going to be Boyhood? No, because I really didn't like that movie.
But here's the thing about that is, am I happy with any of these winning Best Picture? Do I, you know, I think all of these, and as much as I loved Selma, I think Selma's a really, really good movie. I think all of these they're good movies. I don't know that any of them are great movies.
Do you think, I mean, other...
I think Selma's the closest to being great, honestly. But the rest, it's just kind of... Birdman, I wanted more. Boyhood, I wanted more. To play devil's advocate, you know, usually your movies with 9 Oscar nominations or something are in that sweet spot of September, October, November. Grand Budapest Hotel was like a February or March release. So the fact that it stuck long enough to get that love, maybe we're missing something there that... It's there for a reason. If it's stuck with critics this long, maybe it's for a reason. But I just feel like any of these movies, I'm not rooting for anybody, really.
And I don't necessarily see one amongst these nominations, or even necessarily off the board, that we can go back, and we do sometimes, like times the Oscars got it wrong. Shakespeare in Love wins over Saving Private Ryan. Now you look back on it, you're like, really? I don't know. That no matter what you pick out of these 8, I don't know that we're gonna look back and be
wrong.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, we clearly, it should have been Selma, or it should have been Grand Budapest Hotel, because those movies are good. I like them, but I don't think there's one on this list that's going to get jobbed necessarily.
No.
And the ones that aren't on the list that got jobbed, it's just because they're not on the list.
Yeah.
Even if Foxcatcher was on here and
it's
they picked
not gonna win.
No, and they picked Birdman or Boyhood over it. I really wouldn't be that up in arms. I guess I'm just complaining to complain.
It's weird because I am complaining, but I don't know what I'm complaining about because I don't care. Like, it's so uninteresting to me this year that I don't care.
Yeah.
Unless American Sniper wins, then I'll be more angry than anything else, because of the 9 or 8, that was probably the 15th or 16th best. Like, I would watch every one of those movies twice before I would watch American Sniper again.
Well, if that doesn't have you pumped about this Sunday's Oscar broadcast.
Tune in Tuesday, February 22nd. No, Sunday, February 22nd, with your hosts.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh, yeah. Tina, yeah, not Tina.
Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. No, yeah. They're not doing it.
The guy from Gone Girl.
Yeah, that guy. That's the most love that Gone Girl will get all night is NPH. I guess if you want to send us your Oscar picks, we'll read them. Usually we're really interested in what our listeners have to say, and we're still interested. I just think that this entire Oscar season has just not really grabbed us all that much. But I still feel like at least kind of working through these maybe gets some of the angst off our chest and it'll help us kind of put this to bed and just move on to March, which should be a pretty good month.
Yeah, Avengers is just like a couple
weeks away.
Like, yeah, weeks away at this point.
Looking forward to that.
I'm excited for that. I got dinosaurs coming up this summer. I got Ant-Man. I mean, it's going to get better. It gets better.
Yeah, keep your head up, listeners. Keep your head up, and if you want to get a hold of us, you can do so in the following ways, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can tweet us. If you want to live tweet the Oscars so we don't have to watch them, feel free to do that. @moviesonup is the Twitter. Or if you want to get at us on Facebook, facebook.com/moviesonup.
We'll see you next week.
Oh, I didn't know if you had anything you want to plug.
I probably do, but I'm okay. Oh, check out some new podcasts that are up. Not necessarily mine. I have daddy issues with Mike and Dave.
That's a podcast.
That's at daddyissues.net. We may have another episode or two up by now. Eric Cribley, my former co-host of Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave, has a couple new shows. He's got Facts and Friends, which is a continuation of the Facts podcast he did with Mike Kalinich, and A Perfect America. Those episodes should be up. I've probably gotten around to putting them out by now. So,
Where can people find those?
Their websites.
On the internet.
Yeah, on the internet. I'll throw links on moviesonup.com. So they're on moviesonup.com. Check them out.
We will check you out next week. Until then,
keep it up.